Thank you, Alex. Yeah, oh man, this is cranked up. Man, this guy right here is just cool. Like, you know, if you look up like awesome in the dictionary, you're going to see a picture of this guy. I mean, like, you're my hero, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, Alex is awesome. It was a year ago that I was with you guys, and tell me your name again. Emily was pregnant, and the little baby's doing healthy, doing good. So it's exciting to see, like, some change, you know, like all the beautiful things that God's doing. So welcome. If you're here for the first time, again, I am not Pastor Heath. He is way more, super tall. He's like 7'9". So come back again next week, and he may or may not be here. I'm not sure if he'll be at this one. So we're going to read a couple scriptures this morning, and then we're going to get into it. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right before the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read from there, and then after that, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start with verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And real pause real quick. I've just realized, like, I'm getting old because I need the giant print Bible. So if I start to sound like I'm in third grade, it's because I can't see, you know. It's not good. I'm 36 and I'm already like, well, how do you do that? Anyway, so where are we at? To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different types of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, also, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized in one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have been made to drink of this one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now, turn with me a couple pages to the right to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Again, Paul addressing another church. And he says this, starting chapter 4, starting with verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering and bearing with one another in love. Like, did you just catch that? All right, so here is Paul writing this letter to this church. And he's saying, listen, you guys are going to walk together. And part of this walking together is like you're going to have to bear each other. There's going to be some long suffering. There's going to be some things that, because you guys are different, right? Not everybody has the same gift. Not everybody has the same things. And he's addressing these issues. And he says, make every endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in this bond of peace. And then he kind of recaps a little bit of what he says in 1 Corinthians. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were all called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm like, are you starting to see this like repetition of this oneness? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, let's skip over to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickeries of men and the cunning and the craftiness and the deceit and the plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ." So here, Paul, in this letter, these letters to these churches, he uses this metaphor of this body, that we are a body, we are part of a body in which Christ is the head. My man in the red shirt, tell me your name again. Alan. He reminded me of the last time that I was here. I kind of made this comment, and I said, there's this kind of feeling when someone new comes to your church, where at first where you're feeling them out, and you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this guy or not. You're not supposed to think it, but you think it. And there's that moment where like, I don't know if I'm going to listen. And let me ask you, is it okay if I just kind of like treat you like family this morning? No, yeah, see, that's where you messed up. You should have said, treat us like guest. Because remember, when family comes over the house, it's like, you go in to get the fridge yourself. You serve yourself. You know, so family, you're a little bit more rougher than you would a guest. And so since you want me to treat you like family this morning, I'm just going to talk to you like we're one body. We're the same church, right? And so like there might be a few things where you kind of feel, oh, that kind of like hurt a little bit, but it's all right. We're one body, one faith, one Lord. And Paul is making this beautiful illustration about how we are a body. And he says, listen, not all of you guys, y'all are different. There's eyes and there's ears and the nose. And because an eye says, well, because I can't do what the nose does, I'm not any good. And it's real easy to start like comparing ourselves to others, isn't it? It's real easy, especially like when we see a talented person and we think, man, if I could only do that, if I could only lead worship, or if I could only, you know, had mechanical skills like that, or could build stuff like that, or my buddy Keith, he has these amazing art skills. And it's just like, gosh, I wish I could draw, but it's not happening. It can't happen. And there's this part that it could tempt us to think like, well, man, his gift is so much better than ours. And because I'm an eye and he's an ear, like, and Paul's saying, like, listen, you're part of a body. And because you're part of a body, that means there's many members. And because of all these members, people are going to have different functions. So in other words, this, you can't do it all. There's going to be some people that you need in your life and that are part of this body that are going to function different than you. And we need each other. And yet here we arrive at this strange kind of irony. Because often, when we find ourselves interacting as a body, as a group of believers, as a community, as followers of the way, we find ourselves inadvertently sometimes not making disciples in his image, but making disciples in our image. We find ourselves wanting to like reproduce little Lucas clones, right? And because if you don't do things the way I do them or the way I think, and we got to be really careful. Because like there's this diversity in the body and there's these gifts and we're all going to do things a little bit different. And yet we find ourselves, well, we try to make little mini us's and somebody does something a little bit different than we would do it and it just throws us for a loop. God is a diverse God. I mean, he is absolutely diverse. His very nature, the Trinity, there's this oneness, and yet there's this threeness. There's this threeness, and then there's this oneness. There's this reality, there's spirit, and yet there's flesh. He lived among us and died and bled, and he's around us, and yet he's in us. He's like the God that's up there, and yet he's the God that's right here. He's the God that's living and breathing and moving and doing all of these things. We just sang about, man, the glories and the beauties of our God. And yet in Isaiah it says, listen, there was no beauty in him. Like to look at him, it was like, whoa. Like, and if you're in here and you're an unbeliever and you would look at some of these things of the unity of God, yet his Trinity and spirit and flesh and all of these things, it on the outside looks like a contradiction. And yet as Christians, we're like, yep. Three, yeah. One, yeah. Makes perfect sense, right? Like, we get it. But other people are, what are you talking about? And it's by his very nature diverse. There's a movie that came out quite a few years ago. It was the Disney animated King of Egypt, Prince of Egypt. And, you know, do y'all remember that? Moses, the story, and it was Disney's animated thing. Well, there came to this spot in the movie where he was going to have the encounter with the burning bush, right? And there's the part where God speaks to him, you know, take off your feet for this is holy ground. And there's this part in the movie, and what I loved about what the director wanted to do in this part of the movie, he said, how are we going to play the voice of God? And this is what he did. He got the lines, and he got men and women, black, white, Asian, people from all over the world, and he had them feed these lines, and everyone repeated it. And he took all of these voices, and he put them together to make one voice. Because he thought, well, what would God sound like? Well, I think he would sound like all of us. And they put it all together, and in the studio, they couldn't get it right, you know? So I think they went with James Earl Jones or something. I'm not sure, you know, like, we couldn't get it. But, like, just that idea. Like, I thought that, like, how beautiful is that? Like, man, the voice of God, what does it sound like? It sounds like this everybody. Like this thing, and they're trying to make it, and just the diversity. And God says, listen, you're going to be a part of this body, this kind of what seemingly looks like a contradiction, and yet it's completely unified and perfect. And Jesus says, like, you are going to be like this. You're going to be this body. You're going to be these believers. And some, there's going to be pastors and teachers, and you're going to have gifts of healing and gifts of faith, and some of you have gifts of helps and gifts of organization, and there's going to be all these different types of labels and pastors, preachers, prophets, evangelists, and there'll be this one group of people that are just a little bit weird. We'll call them the prophets, right? Because they say stuff that you're kind of like, whoa. Like, if you've ever read some of the stuff that some of these prophets talk, like, the prophets are kind of like, in your family tree, there's always that crazy uncle, like that you're kind of like, hey, is that your uncle? Yeah, he's part of the family. Like, you don't want to kind of admit, but yet he is. Like, this, some of these prophets, you're kind of like, oh, that guy? Well, yeah, he's part of the family. And that's part of the body, and there's this beautiful expression. Have you ever looked at a person and you thought to yourself, well, if they just did it this way. And what we're really saying sometimes is, well, if they just did it my way. Like, if they just did it, like, if she would just fold the laundry like that, if she would just, like, put the toilet paper on this way of the roll, it would work so much better. Like, if you would just, like, cook the meal like I would cook the meal, you wouldn't burn the chicken. Like, come on now. You know you're with me. You've been there. Like, I remember actually when me and my wife were dating. I'd come home. She stayed in one of the dorms or apartments, whatever, on the other side. And I was on this apartment, and we'd come and we'd have lunch together. And she would often make me these sandwiches. And her way of making a sandwich just didn't flow. It wasn't the right way to make a sandwich. You know, she would like do some meat and like maybe some mustard, some cheese, throw the lettuce in there somewhere. Like, no unity to this thing. I'm like, and so finally I was like, listen, baby, you got to learn the Lucas way of making a sandwich. You go meat, cheese, and then you ... with mustard and mayo, and then you got to hit it with the bread that's brown on top. Like, and so I made it into a song. So meat, cheese, ... hit it with the bread that's brown on top. Yeah. And y'all laugh? She remembered it. Because she couldn't get the sandwich right. And but like there was this kind of, and it turned into a joke, and I made it funny. You know, like, don't worry, like, don't throw anything at me. It was personal, you know. But it was this kind of thing that, like, she does it different. And her sandwich is different than mine. And, like, other people like different types of sandwiches. Like, you go to Subway, and, like, they ask you, well, what do you want on this? I want everything on it. And then they ask you again, well, would you like this? Everything. Would you want lettuce? Everything. If you have it, put it on. I want my sandwich with so much stuff on it that by the end of me eating this sandwich, there's a salad on my plate. You know, because all the stuff is just falling out. Like, so I want two in one. I'm going to get my $5 footlong, which, by the way, they've raised the prices. You know, that ain't cool. So, you know, that's the way but what if Subway, like, their whole philosophy is, like, the horizontal sandwich. Like, what if I wanted my sandwich vertical? Like, no, you can't do that, Subway. Like, because it's a whole new mindset. It's a whole new way of thinking. And like, here's like the beauty of the body. Like, there's people that are going to see things from a different point of view. There are going to be people that don't like sandwiches the way you like them. They're going to want, there's vertical and horizontal. And sometimes when we're confronted with these moments, we want to back off and say, whoa, 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 you can't do it like that. And we're the guilty of this in the church. Like, okay, worship leaders, you got to do this. You've got to do fast song, three slow songs, fast song, and that's your worship set. Like, no, no, no. Oh, the reason why God didn't show up is because he didn't play one more song. Like, if he would have played one more song, Holy Spirit would have fallen, everybody would have gotten saved, it would have been amazing. Like, right? You know, it happens. You think I'm joking, like, this is the conversation sometimes. And like, no, it's different. Like, the worship that we experience, it's a beautiful thing when the body comes together. When all of these different parts come together, there's a unity in our diversity. And there's a beauty in our differences. Now, this sounds good. And as Christians, we believe this, and we know that, listen, like, we are this body. Yeah, Lucas, you're not telling me anything that I don't believe in and don't already know that. Like, there's different people, and we're all in this together. But what happens is when this practically plays out among us, when we get around people that are different than us, that think different than us, that do things a little bit different than us, what happens is it creates tension. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves like, whoa. Whoa, I disagree with that. They shouldn't have done it that way. And what we're really saying is they shouldn't have done it my way. And this tension, we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to deal with the tension, and yet sometimes this tension that we're feeling, like we want to blame it on somebody else. Sometimes we even want to blame it on the devil. But the fact is, oftentimes it's God. Often God's like, no, I put that person in your life that's thinks completely different than the way you think for a reason. I put that person in your life that does things the exact opposite of the way that you would do it for a reason, because you need to grow. You need to stretch. When you look at the Bible, it probably happens time and time again, but two men that this shows forth the most is this guy named John and Peter, these two disciples. Now, you couldn't get two guys that were completely different. I mean, when John is this laid back, John is cool guy. John, we see him resting on the breast of Jesus at the supper there. We see John down at the feet of Jesus at the cross. John is just the cool, calm, collective. Historically, John is the youngest of the disciples. John is the one that, like, you know, he's not raising his voice. He's not, like, he is just like, John is kind of like the worship leader. You know, like, worship leaders just kind of have that kind of 70s attitude. Like, yeah, it's all good. We'll just do it. We'll just show up and we'll just, like, play guitar and stuff. And, like, it'll be good. And it's just kind of that kind of. And then there's Peter, right? And Peter is the complete opposite. Peter is like, I get Peter. Because Peter, like, constantly has his foot in his mouth. He's constantly saying something that he shouldn't say, doing something that he shouldn't do. But yet, Peter's the one that, like, you look at it and you're like, wow, Peter walked on some water. Peter also took the harshest rebuke from our Lord that just about anybody has had, where he goes to say something to Jesus. Jesus turns around and says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now imagine that. Imagine Jesus. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Get behind me, Satan. Like, whoa, Satan? Like, the very dude that we're against, and Jesus, like, at that point, y'all would have left the church. You know, but Jesus, I'm offended. He called me Satan. You know, that's it. I'm out of here. You know? Imagine it. It's like crazy. But like, that's kind of what Peter needs. You know? That's Peter's personality type. You know? And Peter's just, he's this thing. Like, he doesn't even really know himself sometimes. Peter's, Lord, I will not deny you. And hey, but a few minutes later, Jesus, I don't know who he is. No, you're one of the disciples. Nah, I ain't never seen him before in my life. And then all of a sudden, what? It's the cuckoo. Or what? How do you make a rooster? What's it? I don't know. What's a rooster make? Cuckoo? No, what is a rooster? Hey, y'all laughing at me. Y'all don't know what sound the rooster makes. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Yeah, there it goes. Yeah, you can't be laughing when you don't know. So I don't know who he is. Cock-a-doodle-doo. You know, three times. Yeah, y'all laughing. Okay, it could go cuckoo. It could be a crazy kind of rooster. Like, but Peter's like learning. Could you imagine though? There's this moment, and like there's something about him that he thinks, like, I'm the man. Jesus, I'm never gonna leave you. They'll all forsake you, not me. Do the sound. That was a good one. And like, but here's the beautiful thing. We're always seeing these two guys together. We're seeing John and Peter. We find them when they get word of the resurrection. We find them running to the tomb together. In the book of Acts, we find them going up to the temple together at the time of prayer. We see them experiencing miracles together. Because though they were completely different, often in personality, often in the way they represented, yet they knew that they were better together. They were better together. Peter needed John. John needed Peter. There was something inside of Peter that John needed, and something inside of John that Peter needed. And they were, it was this kind of, have you ever seen the old, what's the movie, Tommy Boy? David Spade and Chris Farley. All right, Chris Farley, hilarious. You know, David Spade, mediocre at best. Together, amazing. Like, Chris Farley made David Spade hilarious. Some of y'all are like, I've never seen the movie. Move on. I don't get that illustration. Like, anyway, so they were better together. Like, actually, let me tell this other story with it. There's actually this moment of Chris Farley and David Spade back in the day. They would work together. They were in quite a few movies together. And like, for those of you, Chris Farley had this like crazy temper that a lot of people didn't know about. And there was this time that David Spade tells the story that Chris Farley called and left him this voicemail on his phone. And the voicemail goes, David, I'm so mad at you. I'm going to pick up a baseball bat. And I'm just going to kill you the next time I see you. Like, just crazy, you know, just insane. And so David says, like, the next day they're walking onto the set. And he sees Chris over there. And Chris is just kind of like, hey, David, did you get that funny message? And David's like, yeah, Chris, I don't think you were joking. Yeah. You know, like, he would cool down, and like, they would get on set, and they would, like, they were just better together. Like, the dynamic that they had in these movies was incredible. And the same with Peter and John. And yet sometimes, even in our own life, we're confronted with people that are oftentimes very different than us. And instead of embracing them, instead of the realization, hey, like, listen, we're one body, one spirit, one God. And I might be an eye, and he might be an ear, and he can see things, but we kind of like, we separate ourselves. And I'm just going to start a new denomination, right? Come on now. I'm just going to start a new church. I'm just going to start this new thing. And the reason why I started is not because, it's all because, like, well, I don't agree with this. Bishop T.D. Jakes in Dallas, Texas says it like this. When you talk about denominations, denominations really don't tell me what you believe. Denominations tell me where you stopped. Because it's true. It's where we draw the line in the sand and say, well, listen, I'm just not going to do things like this or this. And we fail. We fail to learn from these things and these people that God puts in our path. And sometimes there's that little thing in your heart. There's that little bit of depression in the morning. That little shadow that you wake up with and you wonder, God, why is that there? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And part of it, it's because we've segregated ourselves and we've separated ourselves in such a way that you're left with just you. And God's saying, well, the reason why is, well, you're a body and you need each other. And the very thing that you're rejected is the very thing that's part of what makes that light shine inside of you. It's an aspect of my glory that you're missing out on, because we are created in his image and his likeness. And when we reject certain people because they don't take on our image, well, what's happening is we're rejecting a certain aspect of the glory of God that we say, God, I don't want to see that about you. Like, that's like the little tension I was talking about earlier, right there. That's the moment. Because we've done it. We know what it's like. We know what it is to feel this tension. And here's what's amazing about these letters. In both 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, when he's addressing and using this metaphor of the body and how we're part, in both circumstances, he's talking about spiritual gifts. Because he knows when you start getting gifted people together, tensions are going to arise. When you start getting people that have a lot of talent together, tension arises. If you don't think that's true, like, go to a band practice. Get around musicians. Like, tension will arise. Like, you should come to, like, us four pastors in our meetings. Like, tension arises because we do things different. But what happens is we've made these decisions that, listen, instead of breaking off and trying to do something separate, let's learn from each other. Let's grow together. Even though there's some tension here, even though there's some things that we don't understand, we might even disagree with. Because the outcome of if I don't walk in this unity with you guys, is I'm going to experience some loneliness. I'm going to experience something that you guys have that God's trying to teach me in my life that I need. I need to grow. I need somebody to stretch me. I don't need everybody around me that's just going to agree with me. When everybody agrees with you, something's wrong. There should be some tension. There should be some friction. Does anybody in here like awesome gardener? Like, you just tear it up. Nobody. Okay. Like, if something happens and Walmart goes under, you're messed up. Okay, so, like, I've tried to be an awesome gardener, and I've learned that I could grow tomatoes because our soil down here is so acidic that anybody can grow tomatoes. Like, if you can't grow tomatoes, you've got issues. Some counseling's available. But, so, like, I've tried to grow all these gardens, and I came across this thing that's called companion gardening. And what companion gardening does is it'll take two different vegetables, and they'll grow them up side by side. They'll grow up corn and beans side by side. Because what they've realized in this companion planting is what happens is the nutrients that one vegetable needs isn't the same nutrients that another vegetable needs. And the one vegetable will actually introduce and bring some of those nutrients into the soil. And so the corn actually feeds off of the beans, and the beans feed off the corn, and they grow so much better together, even though they're completely different. And not only that, some of these things, they interact, and some of the things that they put into the soil actually acts as protectants against certain diseases, against certain insects that won't attack these plants, where if it was just corn, they'd be all over it. But if there's corn and beans together, it warns away these certain bugs that would attack and would decimate these crops. It's called companion planting. I read that and I thought, yeah, that's the church. That's what Jesus does. Eyes and ears and nose, and not all our eyes, and not all our ears, and yet we need each other. And if we separate each other, we leave ourselves vulnerable in a lot of areas. I've heard one person say it like this. When we talk about segregation in America and we talk about racism and we think often about white church or black church, or you know the most segregated hour in all of America is Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings. And it was never supposed to be like that. There's no such thing as a white church. There's no such thing as a black church. There's no such thing as a Spanish church or an Asian church. We are the church, the body, many members, and we grow together, and there's differences, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And another thing about this companion planting, you know, sometimes we think that, well, you just got to water and water and water, and some of these farmers are learning that you've got to learn to give them just the right amount of water. Because if you give them too much water, what happens is the roots actually become weak. And whenever there's a storm or something, it'll decimate the crop. And so what happens is you actually have got to stress the crop. You've got to, even when you're planting grass, you've got to stress your grass. Because what happens is those roots become hungry, and they dig down deeper trying to find water. There might be some times and some moments in your life where you feel like, God, where are you at? It feels so dry. It feels so lonely. And what's happened is God is just working and saying, listen, you just need to put down some deeper roots. You just need to get planted. Because Paul goes on here and says, listen, that you wouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wave of doctrine. Because that means, like, there will be waves of this crazy stuff that's going to come through. And if you haven't learned to put down some deep roots, you're going to get tossed up. And to put down those deep roots, God's got to stress you a little bit. There's got to be some things that, God, I don't quite understand, but listen, it's not going to break me. I'm going to put down these roots. Like, the best example of this is marriage. Like, you go into marriage and you say those words that you have no clue what you're saying. Do you take this woman through sickness and health and all? Oh, I do. I do. Oh, you wait. Oh, you wait. You wait till you wake up in the morning and you're like, whoa, whoa. Oh, that's a lot of makeup. What happened to it? What happened to it? Come on now. Or all of a sudden you see him and, like, you know, there's like this trail of clothes all over the house. And like, he doesn't know how to clean up after nothing. And like, marriage is this perfect example. Like, oh, you're going to have to put down some roots to deal with this man. You're going to have to put down some roots to deal with this woman. Because the reality is, though, you're better together. And there will be storms in your life. Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 5. Like, there will be times. The rains will come. The waters will rise. The winds will blow. But the house that's built on the rock, it's going to stand. But the one that has this shallow foundation, the one that's built on the sand, man, it's going to sink. Like, there will be storms. And part of the stress that you're feeling is God just saying, listen, you just need to put down some deeper roots. You just need to secure yourself. Because, like, this, I'm not through with you yet. I'm not through with you yet. I feel like there's some people in here this morning that you're just feeling dry. You're just feeling like, God, I don't know if I can really even take any more of this. It's been so long since I've kind of felt or this thing, and I just put the dream on the back burner for so long, and I feel dry. And God's just saying, listen, you're just putting down some roots now. I know you don't see the progress as fast as you would like to see it, but there is progress happening. See, a year ago, that baby right there was still in her mama's womb. Things have happened. A year ago, my friends Keith and Krista that are here, that baby was in her womb. And they were here that Sunday morning a year ago, and they were facing huge complications with their baby. I mean, huge complications. And we were praying and praying and praying. And it ended up that their baby was born very much premature. Very much premature. And she was in intensive care for a number of months in the hospital. And the thing is, too, some of us, we have these desires and we want things. But some of the worst things that could happen is for you to get the thing that you want and it come too early. And God said, no, no, no. You've got to put down some more roots. You've got to wait a little bit longer. Whenever that baby came early, it was everything. It was all hands on deck because we need to get her weighed up. We need to get her healthy and strong. That way she can go home. And some of the frustration that we're feeling is because some of us have gotten things too early. I've gotten some things too early in my life that I thought I was ready for, and God knew better. And God, Lord, please free me from that. And I don't know, that might not make sense to some of y'all in here, but that's a word for somebody. To just be patient. God, he hasn't left you. He hasn't left you. Just, you're putting down some roots. Everything is going to come full in his time. Don't give up. Don't separate yourselves. Because the thing that brings us all together is Christ. It says Christ. He is the head of the church. And it takes a kingdom mindset to get for us to go where God wants us to be. And it means being around some people that there's going to be some tension. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. We've got to be careful not to lose this kingdom mindset. We got to be careful that we're not creating our own little kingdoms. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to create our own little kingdoms. And God's saying, listen, there's a beauty in our diversity. There's a beauty in our differences. There's a beauty even in the friction. Do you have some people in your life that, man, you've been trying to avoid them at all costs, and God's saying, nah. Like, I have them there for a reason. I think God's putting that person in your mind right now. And it's a whole new relationship when you begin to see them as not annoying, but a person that, man, God's using me to see another aspect of his glory, another aspect of his beauty. The gospel is bigger than Coastal Vineyard. It's bigger than Reach. It's bigger than Crosswinds. It's bigger than the Point Church. It's bigger than the Brunswick County. It's bigger than America. It's huge. The gospel is the thing that changes everything. And it should change everything about your life. It should change everything about your life. The way you interact on the job, the way you treat your spouse, the way you raise your children, the way you come to church, the way you worship, the way that you talk to your neighbor next to you. The gospel changes everything. It changes everything. So therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, Reach, to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness, with all gentleness, with all long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there is one body, there is one Spirit, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God, Father to all, whom in all things he works through all and in you all. Stand with me as we worship.